we're here today not by chance, but because God is over everything. And you know, God has a purpose for each one of us, and we don't know what's around the corner, but we can rest assured that He does. And so it's a wonderful privilege to be able to serve a master who knows everything, and who not only knows everything but cares for each one of His servants, each one of His children, more than we can ever begin to imagine. Well, as you've already been told, I'm going to be giving you a little bit of an update on our work in Armenia. But before I do that, I'd like us just to spend a few minutes looking at just a few things from the Word of God. And so I'm going to read a few verses from John chapter 1. And they will be familiar verses, I'm sure, to most people here. But as we read these verses and as we just think about this little passage just for a few moments, it will really lead into what I want to focus on, or emphasize on when we look at these photos and some of the things that the Lord is doing. So the first chapter of John, and we're going to be reading verses 1 to 9. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Amen. Well, there are a few verses here which contain a particular word which I want us just to focus our attention on, and that is this word light. And of course, you know, when we talk about physical light, it's something that we don't think very much about, is it? But light, of course, is necessary to illuminate the darkness. It's difficult to do most things in the dark, isn't it? And in order to see what we're dealing with, in order to see what we're doing, we need light, don't we? You know, you go to the dentist, and you know, you have toothache or you need a filling, and he sits you back on the chair and says open wide, and then he shines this bright light into your mouth and into your eyes, and he's doing that in order to see what's going on there. And without light, you know, we just wouldn't be able to function, would we? You know, can you imagine if it was dark all the time, how much difficulty we would have? You know, it was amazing. We weren't here when the total eclipse took place a few months back, wasn't it? But it was amazing to see how everything was suddenly plunged into light, into darkness. The light was switched off when that sun was eclipsed. And without light, we can't do anything. And it's interesting that the first thing that God did when He created the world was He created light. He said, let there be light. And of course, here in John, it's not talking here about physical light, but it's talking about a spiritual light. And, you know, we are living in a world where there is great darkness, spiritual darkness. And, you know, you don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to be someone who's been in church for many years to see this. You know, you just switch on your television for a few moments and you see what's going on, and you can see that there is darkness. There is something hanging over this world. Now, in Luke chapter 1, verse 79, it talks about a light coming to those that sit in darkness and those that are in the shadow of death. There is a shadow of death in this world. And you can see the effects on society. Now, what is that shadow of death? Well, of course, we know that it comes from sin, doesn't it? It's a result of sin. And, you know, without Christ Jesus, we are living in darkness, because each one of us is a sinner. Each one of us is in that darkness. And there's a need for light because of this darkness. That sin which is in the heart of each person is the cause of all the problems, all the the wrongdoings in this world. And so there's a great need for light. So the question then is, you know, how can that darkness be overcome? What is that light that can be brought in to a person's life in order that that darkness be overcome? And, you know, there's many who are trying to overcome that darkness themselves, you know, to generate light themselves from within in some way or other. You know, can I do it through my efforts, or, you know, through religion or philosophy or anything else? But, you know, there's only one source of light, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that here in this passage in John, that John came to bear witness, it says in verse 8, of that light, the true light, Jesus Christ. You know, he is the only one that can bring light into to the heart and the soul of a person. You know, maybe today your life is completely messed up. Maybe you are struggling because of things that have gone wrong, because of mistakes you've made, because and you're bearing the guilt and you're bearing sin and you want that taken away. It's only Christ Jesus that can do that. Christ is the only one that can bring that light. And in order to get that light, in order to benefit from it, we have to follow him. We have to take him. Now, you know, the light that we're talking about here is a brilliant light. It illuminates everything. There are people who, you know, they like the dark because you can't see what's going on. You know, you know you're doing things which you're ashamed of, maybe, or you're doing things which you know are wrong, and so darkness is a benefit. It's a help to you. But, you know, that light that Jesus Christ brings, it reveals all those dark sides, and you know, this world that we live in, many people don't like that. They don't like that. They don't want to know about that light because of its revealing power. It reveals our sin. But, you know, the wonderful liberty that brings when Christ comes into a person's life, it changes their life. It brings a light which brings relief, brings a lightness, as in not a heaviness. It brings a new outlook on life. And, you know, we can continue in our sin. We can continue living without Christ, and yet we'll be miserable. Our lives will be miserable, because of course it's oppressive, isn't it, to sit in the dark? It's not a pleasant experience to be in the dark. And, you know, without Christ Jesus, people are sitting in the dark. People are not living life the way that God intended them to live it. Or we can allow Christ to come in and bring his light into our life. There are many people in Armenia today who are living in darkness. They are living in a physical darkness. They don't have the things that we take for granted, and you're going to see some of that in a short while. But they're also living in a spiritual darkness as well. Many, many people who have no idea about who Christ Jesus is. They have no idea about the wonderful news of the gospel message. And you know, what we want to do is to show some of that, show them that light through the opportunities that God gives us. You know, we're a privileged people when we know Christ, when we know God in a personal relationship. We are very, very privileged, and you know, God doesn't want us to keep that privilege to ourselves. He wants us to be used as vessels in order to benefit others. And so, when Christ comes in, he doesn't just bring light into the life of that person, but that person also becomes a transmitter of the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have a verse in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. And it says in this verse, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." This, of course, is speaking to believers. This, of course, is speaking. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to those who are born again. He says, "Let your light so shine." Now, he's not talking about the light which you have of yourself, not a light which you've produced yourself. It's not a light of your own, but that light which has been given to you by me, he's saying. And he says, let it shine so that others might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, the way that we live, the way that you and I live, determines whether we transmit that light of the Lord Jesus or whether we inhibit it, whether we block it out. And you know, when you get up in the morning tomorrow and you go to work or you go to your studies or whatever you're doing, you're at home, the way you live tomorrow and the day after and the day after will determine whether others see that light. And it's God's will that your light should be seen. And the reason is why? So that others might see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. That should be our reason for living, to glorify our Father in heaven. Now that is completely opposite to how the world thinks, how most people think, because most people are living in order that they may get the glory. I get a better job, I get a better car, I get a better house. Why? So that people will look at Michael and say, "Wow, Michael is such an amazing person." But that's not what we're to do as Christians. That's not what we're to do as people of God. As people of God, we are to let our lights shine so that we glorify the Father in heaven. And you know, our work in Armenian Ministries is with that one purpose in mind. That is our main objective. Of course we want to help people in their needs. Of course we want to try and make life a bit easier for people. But ultimately we want people to see that there is a Father in heaven. There is a God who loves them. And everything that's done is in order that he may be glorified. And you know, we can do that together. We can work with one another in order to do that. I'm sure there's nothing brings greater joy to God when he sees his children working together, walking together, worshipping together to bring glory as they shine the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's keep that in mind. Let's keep a hold of that thought as we look through these photographs now, and you know, we haven't got too much time, so I'm going to have to move quickly through what we've got today. But I just want to first of all say, before I go any further, that you know, we appreciate the support and the prayers of this church. You know, there are people in this church who probably met Ivan maybe at one time or other. But this church has been supporting the work of Armenian Ministries for many years, and we appreciate that. And so let's go on and let's have a look together at the work of Armenian Ministries. So let's just go on to the next slide. Before I talk about the world, let me just introduce my family. My wife Peruz is here with us this morning, and our middle daughter Kezia. I also have two other daughters who are back at home today, Abigail and Talitha. Abigail is studying for her GCSE exams, and she's trying to squeeze in revision. So we thought, well, we'll leave her at home so that she's not disturbed from that. But this they are with us in the work. They go to Armenia with us, and they are involved. And we thank the Lord that he's put a desire in their hearts to work as well there. And so let's move on, shall we? So let me just, before I go any further, let me just mention where Armenia is, because I'm sure that there are people here this morning who have no idea about Armenia or what we do there. So let me just step down here, and then I can just point things out a little bit. So this is Armenia, this little orange blob here. It's situated on the east side of Turkey. It's a small country with about 3 million people as its population. You may have seen it in the news recently because this year was the centenary of the genocide which took place in 1915, where about 1.5 million Armenians were massacred. And the country now is much smaller than it was then. So let's just move on again and move on to the next slide. So just so you know, when I mention different names, you'll know what I'm talking about. So the capital is this place here, Yerevan, and that's where we're based. We have our headquarters there, and it's, if you like, that's where anything that's going on in Armenia goes on. Outside of that is very, very quiet. This little place up here, Garpi, that's where our campsite is, and I'll mention that a little bit later on. And then these villages, the various villages which are marked on here, these are where we work, where we do children's work, where we help with humanitarian aid. You will notice there, right on the border, is Mount Ararat. And, of course, you should know a bit about Mount Ararat because there is the Ark on there. And if we just go on to the next picture, I think. Yeah, that is it. In fact, that is the view from our headquarters. We get to see Ararat every day, when it's clear enough, of course. Up there somewhere is Mount Ararat. Now, if my father-in-law had been here, he would say that the Americans have found 11 Noah's Arks so far, and they're still counting. There have been claims to have found it multitude of times, conclusive evidence as yet, but we believe, of course, that it's there because we believe that God's word is true. Armenia was the first country to become a Christian nation in 301 AD. The church there is the Armenian Apostolic Church, which is somewhere in between Roman Catholic and Russian Orthodox, although they have some practices which are unique to them. In terms of the gospel, in terms of the truth, I think it's fair to say that on the whole, the state church has gone very, very far away from what we understand the Bible teaches and what true salvation is about, what grace, salvation by grace is about. None of that is taught or accepted by the state church, which is very, very sad because most Armenians, if you are an Armenian, then that means you are Christian automatically. But for many people, as I've already mentioned, they have no idea who Christ Jesus is. They have no idea that in order to get to heaven, you don't have to be an Armenian, but you do have to be saved by grace. So let's just move on, shall we? It's a land of history, a very, very old land. It's had a very turbulent history. And a lot of that is because of the fact that it has been a Christian country among countries which have been against that, and yet today that heritage still stands, I suppose, as many of these old Armenian churches scattered about. Some of them are very, very old. So let's just move on, shall we? So we've already had mention about my late father-in-law and my mother-in-law. Some of you may have met them some time past. My mother-in-law lives with us, and she's been instrumental in some of the main projects in the work of Armenian ministries, and I'll talk about that a little bit later on. The Lord has been very good to us in providing us with a lot of support and help in order that, you know, we've been able to continue the work, because I know that on my own I wouldn't have been able to do it, but I know that God is faithful and has faithfully provided helpers and partners and people to assist in the work. So let's go on, shall we? So let me just quickly talk about our objectives. So if we just move through these, three main objectives. First is translation of Christian literature, and we'll come to that in a bit more detail in a minute. But, you know, we live in a country where we have a whole range of different types of Christian literature, don't we? You know, we just take it for granted. You know, you can go onto Amazon, you can get a lot of it on Kindle, there's just no end to the amount of literature. In Armenia, there just isn't anything like that. And so it's a vital area of need. In order that people can not only have a better understanding of what Scripture says and therefore come to salvation, but also so that they can grow. Okay, next one. Evangelism and discipleship. So there is a need to preach the gospel, but there's also a great need to take people beyond that, to disciple people, to teach people. Again, the fundamentals of Christianity, things again that we just take for granted, so you know, we want to see people be saved, but we want to see them grow in their faith and come closer to the Lord. Okay, and the last one, humanitarian aid. And, Armenia is a country where there are a lot of people living in very, very poor circumstances. And you can't do the other two without doing this. You can't go into someone's house and say, God loves you and you need to get saved and this, that and the other, if that person hasn't got bread to eat and hasn't got clothes to wear. You can't leave them like that, because otherwise your words are just empty. They are meaningless. So God has enabled us to be able to meet some of these physical needs as well, at the same time as meeting the greater spiritual need. Okay, let's move on, shall we? So let's just look, first of all, at our main sort of landmark, if you like, and that was the translation of the Bible. Now, I love this verse, the entrance of thy words giveth light. You know, that is, of course, the first step. You know, it's true that the Lord Jesus Christ is the light, but without God's word, we'd have no knowledge of our need, would we? And so the word of God is important. And up until 2 years ago, the Armenians didn't have the scriptures in the modern spoken tongue of Armenia today. And so my mother-in-law, Sona Pambakin, she headed a group of people and has translated the whole Bible into the modern Armenian language. So people now have the Word of God. I'll leave this at the back on the back table. You can have a look at it afterwards. But the Word of God is now available to people in Armenia. Let's just go through the next few photographs. You'll see people receiving copies. This is a project that we've worked with TBS on, Trinitarian Bible Society. They've sponsored the project, and they have provided us with numerous copies. In fact, we had 2 years ago we had a shipment of 20,000 copies, which have all been distributed, and we have just received another shipment of 10,000 copies from First Bible in America. So I'll leave that at the back, as I said, when I go. But the reception, the enthusiasm with which people have received God's word has been overwhelming for us. It's really mind-boggling in a sense, because it's just so opposite to what we used to hear. But people have been really keen to get the word of God, and you know, our prayer is that they will read it, because if they read it, their lives can be changed. So you can see there's children here, adults from all sorts of different walks of life. Some are not Christians. Some have just heard that there's a Bible and they wanted a copy. Some come from churches and take a batch of Bibles to give out. We'll just stop there a minute, please. It's just been really, really encouraging, and we just pray that God will use His word. We know that God uses His word. We pray that it will be used in abundance. So pray that with us, please. Pray that as we start to distribute this next batch of 10,000, that the word of God will go out and that it won't return void. So that's the scripture. As well as the scripture, we give out other Christian literature and other translated items. This is I don't know if you've seen these. These are Trinitarian Bible Society's Word of Life calendars, and these are translated into Armenian, and we distribute those. And it's interesting, because you often go into someone's home, or you go into a doctor's surgery, or you go into a government office, and there's a calendar, one of these calendars up on the wall. Now, isn't that amazing? You know, the Word of God there. And we've been to all sorts of places where we've been surprised to find that somehow or other they have received one of these calendars. And they are great because it's the Word of God, and people are willing to take it. So, you know, the Lord can use all these different means, can't he? Let's just go on a little bit. The next one. So these are just some tracts that we've produced. Ones that we've translated. We print them ourselves. Print them over there in Armenia. And we use them as we go out to visit people or to distribute things to people. We'll give them some tracts and sometimes give them a New Testament. Sometimes give them we have some Gospels of John. And, you know, it's basically whatever means we can, by whatever means we can, to get the Word of God out and to get this important message of salvation out. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about this. So, you know, this is our duty for each one of us, isn't it, to preach the gospel. There are many places in the world where people, you know, they've still not heard the word. They've still not heard this gospel message. And unfortunately, you know, we tend to think that is, you know, in the tribal regions of, you know, the remote Amazon or something like that. But, you know, it can be often in places like Armenia. It's a country which has not that long ago come out of communism. And people are very much in that mindset still. Plus, on top of that, as I've already said, there is this attitude of, well, I'm okay because I'm Armenian. And those people are just as much in darkness as those who are, you know, out in a forest somewhere, in the jungle somewhere, and worshipping, you know, I don't know, their animals or ancestors or whatever. These people need to hear the word just as much. So this is why we're doing it. Let's just go on. So as part of this, we have our Bible clubs, and these run every week through the year, where we go to different villages, and we bring the Word of God. Now, many of these children, they have never heard the gospel. For many children, especially in the villages, where they don't have the opportunity to get out of the village, it's very unlikely that they've had any contact at all with church, Sunday school, or anything to do with the Word of God. This is our group in Yerevan. This is in our headquarters in Yerevan, and we thank the Lord that we see new children come in and we see kids coming through and going on with the Lord. So we praise the Lord for that. Let's just next one, please. We started our bus ministry a couple of years ago, and where we hold Bible clubs in some of the villages where we can't, where we've no premises. So if we just look at the next picture, you'll see this is one group there, and this is outside, about 20 minutes outside of the capital, and these kids have all started coming in the last couple of years, and we have about 30 kids coming regularly every week to this one now, and so they're gathered together in the bus. Everything's done in the bus. They sing, they have a Bible story, they do craft. What else do they do? They play games. We've adapted the inside of the bus to make it a bit more usable in that sense. And it's great to see these children coming and hearing about the Lord. Okay. We have our camps, which will be starting very shortly. About three weeks on Tuesday, we will have our summer camps started out there in Armenia. So pray for that, please. There'll be 8 weeks of summer camps. We hope to have about 400 children come through. And some of the kids will be kids that have come to the Bible clubs. Some will be kids from families that we help with aid and things. Some of them will have been before. Some of them will be new. There'll be all sorts. But pray that, you know, the Holy Spirit is upon that time. And each week, as we have a new group each week, that we'll be kept safe, that the leaders will be kept well. We don't want any dysentery, as Brother Owen mentioned. And you know, the Lord will use that time. So, and you know, for many of these kids, it's a holiday for them. They get to enjoy themselves. If we just go on to the next slide. Here they are singing. You know, it's a time for them to get away from the problems at home and just be children for a while. Because for many of these children, they have very, very difficult lives. And you know, holiday is just out of the question. So this is a chance where they get to go away. It's all paid for by Armenian Ministries. Absolutely everything is paid for by Armenian Ministries. And they are, you know, able to take part in something which otherwise would be out of the question. Okay. So let's just move on a little bit and just, you know, just talk about, well, you know, testifying of what God has done, you know, to us. And, you know, just reaching people, individuals. You know, the Lord loves individual people. And you know, we can use the opportunity that God gives us to speak to individuals as we try and help them in some of their needs. Let's just go on. Yeah. This lady, she's a lady that we got to know a while ago, a while back now. And when we first met this lady, she was very, very down, very depressed, on the point of suicide. She lives on her own. She was going blind. She can't get out of the house, has nobody to look after her. Of course, there's no health service there, so she can't get treatment for her eyesight. And she was really, really down, we might say, really under the shadow of death. And we got to know her, and we talked to her about the Lord, and this lady got saved, and the transformation has been amazing. Now, we went to see this lady to help her, because we'd got news of her that she needed help, and actually this is you know, a blanket that we'd taken to give to her. But through that going and helping her, the Lord has allowed us to witness to that lady, and we thank the Lord for her. She's a lovely, lovely lady. She's very much on Peruse's heart. Peruse calls her grandmother, and she's a very sweet lady. Okay. This little girl, she comes from a very, very difficult background. And again, you know, you don't, sometimes you just don't know what to do to help, but you can go in and just give something, just, you know, just show something of the love of God. And this little card here, this is a craft that her older brother made at one of our Bible clubs. And when we went to see this family, there it was sat on the side. And, you know, so we thank the Lord for people, for families like this, for little ones like this. Okay. So we do, of course, that all comes through our humanitarian aid that we are able to do. If we go on to the next. So these next few slides will show you, just give you an idea of how people live. This type of housing is very typical for many, many people. Just basically just thrown together, ramshackled. You know, when it rains, the water comes in. Often, you know, the temperatures are in Armenia get very, very cold. And when I say cold, I mean cold, minus 30 degrees. And people are living in places like this, and often without any heating. Okay. This house, for example, it's basically just a stones which have been put together using mud and water. There's no cement or anything. The roof is just a tin roof, so you can imagine how cold that is in winter time. And then, of course, the problem is in summertime, when the temperature gets into the 40s, it gets very, very hot. And you know, we have, you know, you have kids living in those situations, growing up in that situation, and when you look at them, you think, how is it that they manage to not get illnesses? And, you know, you know, it just really, it's confusing, I suppose, is the word. This family here, this family live in the same village where we do the bus ministry, we got to know this family recently. There's a mother, her daughter, and her three children live together in this place. Okay. And then, you know, people doing what they can to try and earn a bit of money. Now, what these people are doing here is, this is the remains of an old house which has collapsed. They are breaking up the concrete. You'll notice by hand, there's no hammer drills or anything. They're breaking up the concrete to get the metal out in order that they can take it and get some money for it. That is how desperate they are. And there's people who are, you know, doing whatever they can to try and just, you know, get enough money to get their bread for that day. The lady in the previous photograph, where the two little children, the grandmother, she washes bottles, plastic bottles, and she gets one Armenian dram per bottle. Now, that translates into English money. That's 700 bottles for £1, and she doesn't have running water, so she has to go and bring the water. If it's cold and the water supply is frozen up, she goes outside, she fills a bucket with snow, puts it on the hob and waits for it to melt and then washes them in that. That is the desperate state that many of these families are living in. And so, you know, you have to do something, don't you? Okay, let's continue. This lady, she's living where there's no water supply, and her water, if we go on to the next photo, her water is in bottles where she has to go a mile to fetch the water in bottles. Of course, no car, there's no going jumping in a taxi, none of that. She's got to go and carry it herself. So, okay. As I said, it gets cold. The winters can be very, very harsh from December, early December through until the end of January. Very, very cold weather. And so, you know, people have a great need to keep warm, okay. And so, you know, one way, of course, we can help in that is providing with clothes and with bedding, and the preparation for this all goes on at our headquarters in Lincolnshire. And I know there are people here who've donated towards that, and you know, we are very, very grateful. So everything goes there. It's sorted by the team of volunteers that we have up there at Lincolnshire. And then once it's sorted and we have enough for a container, go on to the next one, the container is ordered and it's filled up and sent on its way. Now, you can just, these boxes, you can just make out, they're like this sort of size. One of these containers holds about 1,200 of these boxes. And we've just sent one off, actually, just a couple of weeks ago, container left. So, again, that's something to pray for. Pray for its safe arrival, and also pray that we'll be able to clear it through customs without too much difficulty. So within that are clothes, bedding, shoes, some toys, stationery, school bags, things like that. And this is it arriving in Armenia at the other end. So you can see yours truly up there being pulled into the work. This is Gevorg, our local director. We have a group of 15 full-time local workers in Armenia, which Armenian Ministry supports, and they are the people who really do a lot of the work. I'm just the mouthpiece. but these are great people. They're all believers. We've had one new young man join us just a few months back who actually was one of the first, when he was a child, 10 years ago, he was one of the first kids to come to our Bible club, and he got saved. He stayed with the Lord. He went to the army, came back from the army, had a bit of work on and off, but couldn't find any permanent work, and now he's working for us full time, and he is a lovely, lovely young man. He's not on the photograph here, but we really appreciate the people there that God has given us, as well as the people here. So we thank the Lord for faithfully providing helpers and workers. We need more, mind you. We need more workers. So again, pray for that. We have a special need for young people and teens ministry, and we really love it if the Lord sent us preferably a young couple who would come and take over that work. But you know, it's if you want to go from here, let me warn you have to learn Armenian. I've learnt it myself, but it is a big mountain, so you've got to be willing to climb that mountain. But the Lord is very good, and it's worth it. Okay. So, just show you a few pictures of some things being given out. These are some boots which have been given to this young man. He was about to go to the army, and he didn't have any boots to wear, and you know, they have to provide their own boots. So we were able to help him with that. These little kids, little grubby-looking kids, should I say? They're living in a really, really poor place, very, very bad situation, and they've been helped with clothes. But you know, children are still children, and it's all right giving them clothes and all the rest of it, but they still want toys, don't they? They still want to be children. And so, you know, as part of what we do, we want to try and meet that need as well. So here they are, clasping hold of their new possessions. Thanks. This lady, she's got some blankets and some clothes again. This lady, she's disabled, and you know, she's on her own. If she's not got family to look after her, then the state isn't going to do anything. There's no care provided, so it's, you know, it is very, very difficult. And many of the people that we help are like this lady, people who are incapacitated in one way or other. Maybe they're elderly, and you know, they just cannot do anything for themselves. So there's many like that. Okay, these are kids at one of our Bible clubs. This is just before Christmas last year, and they've all been given a Christmas present and just a few bits and pieces to take home. Most of these kids, again, will have benefited from items which have been sent in the container. Okay. So as I said, it's cold, so the other thing we provide is wood for heating. So we buy the wood in lorry loads, and then when it's taken to our headquarters, and you should see on the next photo, yeah, it being split up. So the wood is, you know, cut up into small logs and then given to those who are most in need. Now, there are many more people need help than we can give help in this way, but this does literally save lives, because you know, the people that we're helping have no other means to heat their homes. Okay, and so as well as wood, we also help with food. Now we help, I think at the moment we help around 80 families a month. We help with food, so we provide them with a parcel of food, and that basically includes you know, dried food, rice, flour, sugar, a bottle of oil, things like that. It's not luxury, but it's staple things, and we buy it there in bulk, and then we distribute it, weigh it out into smaller portions, and then distribute it. And you probably recognise this lady, do you, David? Charlotte Palmer? No? Yeah. So there's friends that were visiting us last year. And you know, we are basically committed to helping those families, because without that help, they would literally starve. And we've had many come to us and have told us that themselves, that without the food parcels, they would starve. And you know, it isn't anything. I mean, we just wouldn't even probably want to even taste it. You know, it's just, I mean, it's the, you know, it's really the cheapest things, but it will keep people alive. And that's, I guess, the important thing. Okay. So, as well as all these different ways of helping, we try to help in other ways where we can. This, the man that lives here in this house, he's partially disabled. He's actually a war veteran, but he doesn't get any recognition for that. He doesn't get any help from the state, and he lives on his own in this place. There's no running water. He doesn't have proper sanitation or anything. And his house is on this level here, so underneath is just like a basement. But this was a stairway up into the house. And so what we did is we thought, well, one thing we can do is try and help by making him some stairs. So on the next one, if we look, one of our workers, he's good with anything like this. He got some, bought some bits of metal, and he welded this staircase. And if we look on the next one, you can see them being put in place. So since actually this photograph was taken, we've actually been able to start to help by putting a toilet in for him. It's not finished yet. There are one or two issues to get round, as there always are in Armenia, I'm afraid, with these things. But We're hoping eventually he'll have a toilet inside the house, a proper toilet inside the house. But, you know, and that's him actually looking on and approving the work. So, you know, these are just ways that, you know, we try to help, you know, outside of what we normally do. It's really where, you know, where God gives an opportunity. And if I take this man, Valerika's name is, if I take Valerika as an example, he has heard the gospel message many times since we got to know him. We've talked with him about things of the Lord. He's had that opportunity. Now, he's very open to God. His heart is very open. He's not fully understood what true salvation is, I don't think. But I'm sure the Holy Spirit can bring him in. And you know, of course, that isn't our responsibility, is it? That is between him and God. But our responsibility is to give people the opportunity to hear. And you know, we're thankful that, you know, through a meagre way of helping, we have that opportunity. And you know, we are privileged in that sense. We are working with people who, you know, they really don't have anything in this world, you know, and we're privileged to be able to come and bring them the one thing that is more important than anything else. You know, I often say this to people, that we can't do very much to change people's lives. You can take them a parcel of food, you can help them with some clothing, maybe do one or two improvements on their home. But there's very little you can do to change their situation. However, if you bring the light of the gospel, that changes everything. Because it really doesn't matter. As Paul said, he's learned that whatever state he's in, to be content. You know, so whether you have everything or whether you don't have anything, if you have Christ Jesus, if you know the Lord and you know that he's over everything and you know that you have a home in heaven, then your life can change. You can be content. And so this is just a bit of what we do. Last one. This is what we, you know, want to continue to do, to let the light shine through us. And, you know, we trust by the grace of God that we'll be able to do that. And, you know, again, we thank you for your prayers. We do really, really covet your prayers. We thank you for your support. Thank you for the opportunity again to come today and talk to you. And thank you for listening.